This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Let's go. I want to ask you a simple question. Come in a little bit closer, okay? Is this a playoff or bust season for Brian Kelly? We are going to have an honest and open conversation surrounding this topic. We're also going to tell you the latest on Garrett Dellinger and much more. Also, can LSU stop Ryan Williams, the best wide receiver freshman that we might have ever seen? We're going to talk about all that coming up, baby. I'm going to need your help in the chat today. Let's go.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the fair. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the fair. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the.
So, does anyone remember the beginning of the South Carolina game when LSU was just getting absolutely positively rattled by a team that had just struggled with Old Dominion in their season opener? We were saying to ourselves, man, this is not a good football team really at all, right? We had interception issues that were bailed out on a horse collar penalty. Obviously, defensively, we couldn't fill any gaps. They're able to just run the football. And now, fast forward, winning that game and all the other games, you jump out to a 17-7 lead on the road versus Texas A&M. Every single one of us were wondering, wow, we have a pretty clear shot to the playoff. So it is amazing how different the conversation was, because at the time of the South Carolina game, I think a lot of us were feeling, hey, this team, while it is very talented, we're looking at year four being the playoff season of the Brian Kelly era. So what's very interesting, after the season opening loss versus USC, I think a lot of us changed our opinion after the first half of that South Carolina game, but we found a way to win that one. We found a weird way to win the Ole Miss game, and then we played the most dominant game of our season versus Arkansas on the road, 17-7 lead at halftime versus Texas A&M, with our defense completely shutting them down and Garrett Nussmeier, for the most part, playing really well. And then we collapse. One bad quarter-ish, one bad half-ish, and now it is do or die. So I want to give you an opportunity in the chat right now, or if you want to do this while you listen down the road, whether you're listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, please, if you do, leave a 5-star review. If you're watching this live or just after the fact on YouTube, I want you to comment down below. Give me your most thorough comment as you possibly can. If you think this team needs to make the playoff this year. And understand, if you are saying this team needs to make the playoff, you are saying that Brian Kelly needs to go 4-0 versus four teams that are good. Oklahoma's got the worst offense in the SEC. Nobody is close to them, but y'all, their defense is legit. And they play really hard. And Brent Venables, last time he schemed against us, he actually did better than most would have versus 2019 LSU. Then, obviously, Vanderbilt is good. Obviously, Florida has their quarterback of the future. They're good and will be on the road. And Alabama is Alabama with both of us coming off a bye week. Okay? So, understand. What you're saying, if Brian Kelly needs to make the playoff. I do want to share this level-headed opinion, or as level-headed an opinion I could possibly give each and every one of you. I feel the following is a fair statement when it comes to LSU football. I have always let it be known that the Tigers do have the chance to be the Nick Saban program of the SEC, the Kirby Smart program of the SEC. It is in the range of outcomes for this program to be the absolute King Kong tip-top program. If we continue to recruit the way that we are recruiting, obviously 2025 and 2026 should be pretty good as well. And if we do that, we would be looked at as a program that should make the college football playoff every season, the same way we look at Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama as three schools we think every year will make the playoff. Now, the truth is, we aren't those programs. We just aren't. We are very good. We're in that next tier. We're in, I feel, the top five-ish, top 10 programs in all of college football. But I think at this point, Brian Kelly needs to make the 12-team playoff at the bare minimum once out of every two seasons. I think that is fair. If you want to do two out of every three seasons, that's also fair. I don't think every season is reasonable. I just don't think that that's reasonable. Now, should that be the expectation? Should that be the goal? Yeah. Yeah. But I think one out of every two or two out of every three seasons should be the goal. And I would also say the way we looked at the end of USC and at the beginning of South Carolina, I would have never have thought that we would be having that conversation at this point in the season anyway. I would have thought we would have had at least two losses after the South Carolina game. Now, did we get some schedule breaks to go our way? Yes. Did we get some good luck to go our way? Yeah. Yeah, we did. But the truth is, we have got to make the playoff once out of every two seasons. Now, would I be disappointed that LSU did not make the playoff this year? Yes. I'd be pretty disappointed. Knowing what we know now about USC and knowing how we lost to Texas A&M, it would be very disappointing and a huge missed opportunity. Now, I'm a look forward kind of guy. That's just who I am. I like to look forward. I don't like looking backwards. But, you know, the team that Brian Kelly should have won the Natty with was the team last year, if we're being honest. All right. Once again, not going to dwell too much on that. That team was, you know, better on one side of the football and worse on the other. But that's what it could have, should have talked. And that's how LSU has mostly been throughout our years. We have had four special teams to reach a national title. We won three of them. All right. And normally once every 4 or 5 years, we really do have a special team. We do. And obviously, from 2011 to 2019, you can consider either one of the Fournette 2015, 2016 teams as a special group of players when you actually look back on the roster. So if you actually look at that, it's once every 4 years, 4 or 5 years. And last year was a year, and then that was a special team. Okay? We have guys that are not only dominating as rookies, guys that are literally the best at their positions in the entire league for anyone. Jaden might be the MVP. Malik Nabers might be already a top five receiver in the NFL. Brian Thomas might be that as well, if we're being honest. You're probably firmly in the top 10, top 15 range right now. But Malik Nabers, according to ESPN's open score, is the number one wide receiver in the NFL. So, you know, I and for the record, I think Justin Jefferson's better. I think Tyreek Hill's better. I think Ja'Marr Chase is better, but and a few others. But, you know, that's not the point. You get what I'm saying. So I want this to be known that I'm giving Brian Kelly this year and the next to find a way to get this team to a playoff. I'll also say this. If he does find a way to win these next four games, he will be firmly in the mix for SEC Coach of the Year. And it adds to a very complicated equation for LSU. And this was something that I was, you know, conjuring up to myself as we get ready for this final push. What if, and this could reasonably happen, what if LSU wins out the rest of the way, qualifies for the SEC championship game, lose that game, and then they're stuck with three losses? Because if they win out, they have a really good shot of being in the SEC championship game with only one conference loss. Obviously, that would give Bama three conference losses. You would need Texas and Alabama. You would need Texas and Georgia to basically lose again. But you know, you and they do play each other, by the way. There's still that, right? So this is a very confusing playoff picture. You know, teams and multiple conferences expanded and remained at eight conference games, which creates a very imbalanced schedule, and it creates a lot of ambiguity on who the conference champion might actually be. Let's go to John, who's one of our more level-headed commenters. We also say hi to Jared, our top super chatter, Sam. We have our super chat goal up. If we can get to 10 super chats in the next hour, it could be any monetary amount. If we get to 10 super chats in the next hour, we are giving out an LSU autograph card. And I'll give you multiple options. I'll go dig a few out. I think we're going to get to 10 super chat goals. You see it on the YouTube chat right there. Let's go to John, though. LSU needs to win the four games because it's a realistic expectation at this point. But BK is not, should not be on the hot seat if we don't. His team won't materialize totally till next year. So this is where I run into an issue. Obviously, if we start venturing off into next year, and we did a lot of that yesterday in our Bryce Underwood film study, but if we start talking about the next year, all right, and Jared already fires one in there. There you go. I appreciate it. Jared, every single chat drops $5. It goes a long freaking way. Here's my honest thoughts on next year. You lose Will Campbell. All right, he's going to be a first-round pick. Obviously, the other four guys have decisions to make. Gary Dellinger does have to go. So, obviously, Emory Jones will probably go. Mason Taylor will probably go. And then, yeah, the big one, Garrett Nussmeier. Then, like I mentioned, I got my first ever huge Kyren Lacy card. Okay. I love this card. I would sell it for the right price, so I'm not in a position to say no. It's a one of one. It's the only one of these in existence, right? He doesn't have many autographs out there. Kyron Lacy's going to go pro. What does Aaron Anderson decide to do? I could see him going pro as well. So at this point, Xavion Thomas will be back. CJ Daniels will be gone. You got to rebuild the wide receiver room. You really do. What does Chris Hilton decide to do? I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas. What's going to happen? I don't know. And then defensively, you do return a lot. Like, you'll lose Greg Penn. You'll lose Gio Paez. You'll lose Swinson. We'll see. But at this juncture, I do not believe next year's team going into that season, I don't know how comfortable I feel about that team being better than this year's team. I don't. Because you also look into next year, the conference schedules flip. So you have to go to Ole Miss. I don't know if they're going to be any good next year, though. You have to go to Alabama, which obviously would be tough. You have to start the season at Clemson. It's tough.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
It's tough. And John follows up, that doesn't matter to me. Three recruiting classes plus the portal is on for Kelly next year. Let's go to Roby. He says, I still don't think we have the horses yet. The 38 scholarships Coach O left was like a death penalty. All right, I'm with you on that. There was a full roster rebuild needed. But I do think, as far as like rebuilding a team, I don't think it is as hard to do that as it once was now with the transfer portal. Now, I do want to touch on something that I think will be interesting. I don't know if it's anything like super-duper newsworthy or anything I've lost sleep over, but Brian Kelly did lose someone that's been in his staff forever. And we don't know exactly why Beth Brex is her name, left. I've not heard anything. So I don't know if you need to go refill that role. I don't know if some program out there wants to go hire Blake Baker as their head coach. I mean, there's a lot of different things that we don't know about. I think Cortez Hankton could be a head coach somewhere. And then, you know, you got to have decisions about if you want to keep every last bit of coaching the same. So, you know, I understand that. I also think we need to pay up and get just some of the big guys in the portal, whatever it is to get them, because we are lacking in some areas, right? Like, I know I've done the woulda, coulda, shoulda. What if we had this guy? What if we had that guy? But, you know, we'll see what's out there, and hopefully we'll replenish the talent that we need. Now, if you guys don't mind, before we get into the next topic, the best way you can help grow this channel is hitting the like button, subscribe, ring the bell. And then also, please go follow me on X. Our live streams on X have actually been performing a lot better than I initially thought. So retweet, follow me on X. That is at Power Hour LSU. You can also follow my personal account at Carter the Power, and it goes a long way. Tomorrow, I'll be releasing a new Patreon podcast, and I will go deeper into this next topic that we're talking about, which is a stock up, stock down report. All right. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down on LSU's team? All right. And I will give you just a sneak peek into that. Now, one player whose stock is up, I'll give the obvious ones here, is Caden Durham. Caden Durham is our best offensive player outside of Will Campbell. He has been that good for us. He is that big of a needle mover for us. And it's just that simple. I think it's important to note that the gap between him and the second best running back on this team might be wider than the gap of one person to the next on anyone else on this team, if that makes sense, right? So Caden Durham is definitely a stock-up guy for the future, and this very well could be the best true freshman season I've seen from a running back, right? Fournette was obviously really good as a true freshman, as was Darius Geis. There's plenty that you can choose from, but, you know, this has just been a ridiculous, ridiculous season from him. Another player whose stock is up is obviously Aaron Anderson. He has been the biggest surprise. The Caden Durham stuff, just it some things about it have shocked me. But, you know, if you're a patron, you know that he was my number one offensive rated player in the class. So it's not really a shock, even though his recruiting ranking wasn't as high as the Tre'Davious Green or Weston Davis or someone like that. But Aaron Anderson was always a player. I was like, man, I think he's good. I don't know if it'll ever like materialize to him being elite, but he is elite. Right now, he has been elite. He has not had a bad game yet. He just hasn't. Like, that is ridiculous. That is hard to do at wide receiver. I understand his style of play does fit in really well with Garrett Nussmeier. And they did have a lot of chemistry from the year before. And, of course, the Chris Hilton injury has helped out his target share. But the bottom line is he's just been that freaking good. And no one really thought that it would be like this. I think a lot of us felt Kyren Lacy would be by far the best receiver on this team. I think him and Aaron have been tied. Obviously, they're different style of players. But Aaron Anderson fending off a very talented Xavion Thomas, you know, a very talented CJ Daniels also on this team who's played really well in my estimation. Aaron Anderson stock up. Obviously, those are two of the obvious ones. And then obviously a stock down for me, and on tomorrow's show we'll dive a little bit deeper into some of the backups. You know, I said that I would have switched out centers during this bye week. But DJ Chester is a year two player. He's year two. And, you know, if I remember correctly, I'd have to go back and look at my high school film again. You know, I think he played offensive tackle in high school. So playing center as a year two player is hard. It's a very cerebral, physical position. All right. It's an in-your-face position. But, you know, I think a stock down for me would be Miles Frazier. Right. I understand it's not just him. A lot of it is a play calling. A lot of it is a play design. But this year, you know, I would have thunk he would have taken a step forward. And he's solid. Like, he never was like a dominant player, even during the Jaden years. But man, it's been tough sledding for him this year. So that would be one of my stock downs on offense. Now we'll go to the other side of the football. And obviously, you know, stock up. This is going to be one that is a little bit different. Sage Ryan, right? He's played better these last couple of games. Are there some things I would like to see different? Yes. But part of the stock up of Sage Ryan for me is, well, it was so bad previous to the Arkansas game. But he has gotten a little bit better, in my estimation. And you love to see it from a guy who's given so much to the program. And then a defensive stock down, it's kind of tough to just point at any one player's stock being down, especially with Major Burns playing better these last couple of games. It's still, obviously, there's still some Major Burns moments mixed in there. But I'm not sure if there's a defensive player I would consider with like a horrible, horrible fall off. I think a lot of it is a team effort, right? I think we need to do better as playing as a team. And there's a lot with this defense where we have been better, in particular in comparison to last season as playing as a team. But I can't say this enough. The zone read is an option play. And what option plays are designed to do is to simplify offensive rules for the offense to carry out. Since zone reads are such quick hitting, like quick developer plays, you simply just have to do your job. All right. And obviously, for whatever reason, we struggle with that. And I think a lot of it is because we are such a havoc-creating defense. We like to make a lot of plays. Our defense is instructed to go out there and create chaos, right? And the problem with that is if you're going out there with the mindset of just, hey, I'm going to go out there and make plays, you can get yourself into trouble, right? Just do your job, stay in the gap, and trust the other players, if that player were to go through your gap, to make the tackle. That's the simple way of doing it. Okay. Now, let's see. It's crazy. I'll be back doing some play-by-play for college basketball this year. Pretty excited. Chance wants to say, is Shelton Sampson stock down? Yeah, you know, it's kind of tough for me to say stock down because it was so low at this point. But if you would have told me that Shelton Sampson would be healthy for a year and a half, and he still would have not caught a pass up to this point in his career, that would be the single most mind-blowing stat out of any player I've ever evaluated. Like, his high school tape is really good. It is really, really, really good. He was a top 100 recruit. But, you know, for whatever reason, it's just not worked out. It's just not. And it's not just like the incompletions, it's that the targets that we've thrown to him have been heavily covered. I mean, we're not even close to getting a completion to him. So it's tough. It's tough. And he's gotten to play some because of our injuries. But there you go. Let's go to Pierce. He says, call me nuts, but the more I see Will play this year, the less I'm convinced he's a top 15 pick. Yeah, I, you know, the A&M game was a tough matchup, right? He's had two matchups in a row going up against guys that are going to get drafted next year. You know, Landon Jackson from 2 years ago, and then this past week versus Texas A&M. You know, they haven't been his best games, but I don't know what it is, and we'll need to look into this 2 years from now, even if A&M's on our schedule 2 years from now. What is it about that building that causes us to not play our best football? And in particular, we really struggle in the trenches on both sides when we are there. I don't know why that's the case, but it has been the case. All right. Yeah, Roby, and LSU's going to get some. I don't think LSU is going to have any problem getting wide receivers out of the portal next year. All right. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. All right. Now, coming up next, do we think, or let me put it this way, Do we know if LSU can stop Ryan Williams, the superstar wide receiver for Alabama? I believe that they can because of this.
Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
Midweek, let's freaking go, baby.
Dental health is wealth, and our friends at Sequoia Dental are looking to help you feel like a more confident person. Dr. William Wilson and his team of experts do everything in their power to make this experience for you not only comfortable, but fun. Yes, take a look at this after and before photo. That guy definitely got himself a date thanks to Sequoia Dental, from teeth whitening to cosmetic surgery to, guess what? Botox. Yes, they do Botox. Call my friend Dr. William Wilson today, or just go book your appointment at sequoiadental.com.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. All right, so I will not at this point be at the Alabama game, but this is what happened last time I was sitting in this chair and I said that. We had some viewers step up and send me some tickets. Like, they just out of nowhere said, hey, here's some tickets. LSU Alabama. I was like, huh? And they're 50-yard line tickets. And there I met my closest recruiting buddy, my guy Kevin. And he sat right behind me, and we're still really good friends to this day. So if that were to happen, I would obviously go. But you know, I shared this yesterday. I got screwed out of a lot of money recently in the YouTube space, and that sucks. All right. It really, really, really sucks. I'm obviously not struggling or anything like that, but, you know, it hurts, and I'm trying to recoup those funds. But, yeah, you know, if I were to go, that would be the way I would go. And I've shared this before. You know, when I go to games, lucky enough, I do have a place nearby where I can do my post-game show, but it is a lot of work. It's driving, the traffic and the film studies and now all the NFL stuff. It's just how it is. Okay. Oh, did I say Brian Williams? Let's say Ryan Williams. I can easily see how someone heard Brian Williams. So Ryan Williams is a superstar wide receiver for Alabama. I will say a few things though that show me some positive signs. The first is Jalen Milroe has regressed. And what I think's happened is because Ryan Williams is so much better of a wide receiver than everybody else on Alabama, Milroe's had some tunnel vision towards Ryan Williams, all right? You know, I wouldn't take good or bad anything from the Missouri game. Obviously, they beat him down 34-0. But the last competitive road game that they played, Alabama versus Tennessee, Milroe threw a bad pick in the red zone to Ryan Williams. And as great as he's been, and he got another big NIL deal today, I do think compared to where our secondary was a few weeks ago, I think LSU is in a better spot to guard him. But we'll see. You know, the last true alpha receivers we've played have done really well, right? A&M, they don't really have an alpha, but Andrew Armstrong is fifth in the country at Arkansas when it comes to yards per team pass attempt. And he had, I think, close to 100 yards, and they only played 50 offensive snaps. And then obviously Trey Harris tore us up. But, you know, he did the year prior, and it's whatever. And he got hurt, obviously. So we've had some issues, you know, guarding some of the alpha 4- and 5-star big-time NFL draft prospect receivers. But, you know, let's just say Ryan Williams goes off, as long as the others don't, we'll be okay. You know, Kendrick Law is another player for them. He's a slot guy out of Shreveport. He's a good blocker. He didn't really turn into anything. And Jeremy Bernard, number 5, is a good player for them. But I'm not as worried about this Alabama passing attack as we were a few weeks ago. Oh, God, we see. Oh, God, he's here. I don't know if I have the energy to do it today, but I will. Master Blaster, what's good? Let's go. Now, we do this every Wednesday. We go through the rest of the SEC. But before we do that, let's talk about Garrett Dellinger. Do I think Garrett Dellinger will play versus Alabama? I don't know. It's an ankle sprain. Those things heal. It's an ankle, not a heel, but you got where I was going with that. It can heal quickly or it can't. So we'll see what happens. And then obviously if he can't be ready to go, you're already missing Tyree Adams. So it's the Paul Mbenga show at left guard and DJ Chester at center. Let's go to Rick. The first thing we must do is stop Jalen Milroe. That's job number one, especially with his legs. Okay? Stopping Milroe and Jam Miller, their running back. Okay. Now, tonight, I am stepping in for, I'm stepping in with, excuse me, I will be on Tiger Bait tonight with Preston Guy. So I'm excited about that. You guys know Preston, Preston, friend of the channel. Let's see. Can we spy Milrow this year, please? Yes, we will have a better plan. No, I did something crazy today. I did my first Jameis Winston video on the NFL channel, and I miss him so damn much on the Saints. I really do. He is just the... he is just the funnest guy. And I miss him on the Saints. I really do. Saints have had some of the funnest, like, backup quarterbacks. Chase Daniel, Teddy Bridgewater. Let's go to Taylor. Put Xavion and Caden in the backfield at the same time. Yeah, let's do it. I could see that in particular working in the red zone. Right? You know, teams tend to think, hey, in the red zone, we need to put thicker bodies out there. No, put faster guys out there. Xavion, of course, has been really good in the red zone on those jet sweeps. And, of course, Caden Durham has been Caden Durham. But I like that idea, Taylor. And look, we are a third of the way to the Super Chat goal. I love it. I'll show Taylor some love in the chat. Always bringing the energy. I love it. Okay. Let's... I thought I had this pulled up. Let's put this up on the screen. Now, this is where I always say, always bet within your means. Where is your lock of the week this week in the SEC? Auburn being 7-point favorites over Vanderbilt seems like the trap line of the century. It makes you think, does Diego Pavia have gonorrhea? What is going on with this line? How can Auburn, who can't freaking score after beating Kentucky, be a 7-point favorite over the darlings of the SEC, Vanderbilt? This is something that I don't get at all. Somebody make sense of this. Somebody please make sense of this. Somebody, please. Let's go to Show Enough, and then we'll go to SoCo right after this. Too high man coverage against Nuts will be ugly next year when number 66 gone. Will he take off running in year two when the lanes are open? You're right. You know, you could say, and probably be justified, that there has been some disappointment in Will Campbell's season, but he's still the best left tackle in the game. You can argue Kelvin Banks. There's some other guys you can argue, but I still take Will over anyone in college football. And the thing that really stinks when it comes to offensive line play is an offensive lineman has an effect on every single play in the game, because they are out there every single play, which is why in our rushing film study suggestion video yesterday on this live stream, you can go check it out on Twitter as well. I think it's important for play callers to call as many plays or come up with as many plays as you possibly can that eases things on the offensive line's blocking, right? And there are plenty of run designs that you can run where the offensive line doesn't really need to execute a block at all. Or everything just, you know, I hate these stretch run plays where we're asking Tre'Davious Green to block five-star defensive ends. It's just not going to work. You know, these defensive players are so smart nowadays, they've seen everything. But, you know, whether it's next year, showing off my guy Jordan, we need to see it this year. We need to see more Nuss runs this year. Appreciate it. Let's go to Michael. Carter, I'm going to put my money on the over 10 super chats by the end of this episode. What do I think? I think if we do, it's going to be you, Soko, that takes home a Trayvon Darrell autograph, bowl ticket auto. This one is numbered out of 99. Only 99 of these are in existence. So if we get to the over 10 super chats, y'all are winning this for Soko. Love to see it. Okay. Now, I need y'all right now to give me your lock of the week. I feel like a sucker going to bet plus seven with Vanderbilt. I'm getting 7 points. Ole Miss at Arkansas. I do like Arkansas first half, right? The home team in this matchup has always dominated the first half between Sam Pittman and Lane Kiffin. So I would guess the first half would be Arkansas plus 3.5. I would take that. I would. I also lean towards the under in that game. Lots of penalties in that game, which helps the under as well. Florida, we have Georgia hosting Florida. I've always hated this week of college football games because not only does Georgia and Florida normally fall on this week, it's a neutral site game, which I hate. And then we learned today that the next two iterations of this matchup won't be in Jacksonville because they're rebuilding the stadium in Jacksonville. It's going to be neutral siders as well. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Let's just try this bitch out in Athens and in Gainesville. Their fans both want it, but no. F the fans. Georgia's 16.5-point favorites versus the Florida Gators. If I had to pick, I would pick Georgia in this spot. I would. Mississippi State, 18-point favorites versus UMass. I'll stay away from that. I don't know a damn thing about UMass. Texas A&M, 2.5-point favorites versus South Carolina with a low total of 44.5. First thing, I hate when two maroon schools play each other. The uniform combinations look like vomit. It looks like it's two church schools going against each other, right? I hate maroon on maroon. All right. Hate it. And then we got Tennessee at home versus Kentucky.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Kentucky. Tennessee will be in the all-black uniforms. A few years ago, they wore these all-black uniforms versus Kentucky, and they blew them out 44-6. Give me the Vols. That is a ridiculously low total for a 16.5-point spread. I want you to take a look at this. I would be very interested if this is the lowest total, point totals we have ever had in the SEC in all the games. Not a single game of an SEC versus SEC team over 54 and only two above 50. That is ridiculous. But that's how a lot of the quarterback play is gone. Thank you, Soko. Appreciate it. Tari, thank you so much as well. Appreciate you. And by the way, I was going to do it anyway. Soko, congrats. I'm sending you the Trayvon Darrell card. Even if we don't get to the 10 Super Chat goal, we still have 15 minutes. We can still get there. So all you got to do, SoCo, is shoot me an email at powerhourlsu@gmail.com. All right. Harrison's calling it now 27-7. But yeah, man. You know, we've honestly been doing really well, numbers wise on the channel. And this is, has always been the case. It is hard to generate numbers during election season. It is so freaking hard. Like, all sports coverage outside of the actual games themselves, but even then, everyone's pumping whatever in their minds before they go vote. Tari, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate you, man. And so could you shoot me an email, powerhourlsu@gmail.com. We got you. But if you're watching this down the road, give me your lock of the week in the chat. That's what you got to do. But honestly, you know, I've gotten more compliments than I normally do on the film studies. And don't get it twisted. I love doing film studies. I really freaking do love doing them. All right. But I actually like doing this more, right? And there are new ways that I want to do film studies, and there's new ways I want to incorporate my live shows, right? I want to have like a studio where I go in and have producers and all that stuff. But, you know, I was trying to do that, and then somebody screwed me, but it's whatever. I really, really, really love doing this, right? I don't want to get some stupid ass accounting job to where I can actually start making like big, big, big dollars, but which I won't do probably. It's either I do this or I go broke. How much am I short? I'm not short any. It's actually in this case, the volume, but you know, I'm always down to hit the hundo mark. That's always, if I do a show and I hit a hundo, I'm cooking. No, it was not YouTube. It was not. Yeah, Jared, that's why it's crazy. But you're right, Chance. Sometimes when you take a strong stand, you are right. You know, I've gotten some strong stands wrong, but that was one I felt pretty comfortable in. So there you go. And by the way, I never had anything against Mark Stoops. It was just so blatantly obvious that he was in over his skis. But I don't know anything. Now, I'll share what happened. So a guy reached out to me. It was a team of YouTubers, like YouTube editors and stuff like that. And he reached out to me, he saw my stuff, and he was like, "Hey, I have a team of people that can edit videos, and help you churn out more videos in all your channels." And I was like, okay, cool. And I hired him. And we agreed it was a pretty large sum of money. I looked at his portfolio, looked pretty clean. Looked at his website, looked pretty clean. And it was the worst ever. And it was more so for the NFL channel. And it was unusable videos. Like, I would send them the footage of me doing it. And I not only end up losing the money, he blocked me on all social media platforms. I challenged PayPal to offer to get my money back for it. And it was pretty large sum of money. And he blocked me on all social media platforms. So now I got to do one of these things where I have to out this guy. And I don't like doing the whole conflict behind the scenes kind of thing. But literally, it was the worst. I was blown away how bad the video edits were. Blown away. And so, it sucks. It really sucks. Like, I had been saving up to hire somebody. And I was like, you know what? These people seem legit. I looked, I was like, these people seem legit. And they were awful. They were just downright atrocious. And I could post the videos and you could see for yourself how bad they were. But I mean, like, it was really, 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 really bad. Because if they could help me on the other channels, that can open up more time for me. Because every day I wake up, I'm doing something for Power Hour LSU. Then I'll do some for Power Hour SEC and then Power Hour NFL, right? So I'm still waiting. If he refunds me the money, I won't say anything. All right, but he's blocked me on all platforms. If I get the refund of the money, it'll stay quiet. But then again, I don't want anyone else to get hired by this guy because this is crazy. Now let's go to Tari Super Chat. Carter, LSU needs an experienced offense coordinator. Yeah, so I was going to save this for our chat tomorrow. Joe Sloan tends to put us in bad situations. The running game pattern is predictable, and we like to throw to the sidelines and neglect the middle of the field. Yeah, so, you know, in the first year of Jaden's in his first year, Jaden at LSU, he really, really, really struggled of throwing over the middle. And I think we're about 35 away from hitting a hundo tonight. But he really struggled throwing to the middle of the field. He really did. Garrett, for the most part, has done a really good job throwing over the middle. All right. But it's also a little bit different because Garrett's throwing numbers are always going to be so high because he just does not run at all. And we also don't have a rushing game. So, you know, I always say this. Because we can't run the football and because Garrett doesn't run himself, our passing efficiency is not always going to be high, but our passing yardage and attempt numbers are going to be high. So if you're throwing more, that opens yourself up for more drops, more picks, and all of that. So with that said, you know, there's just not a whole lot of easy things that are manufactured in this offense. And that to me is a capital A, capital M, massive issue. All right. Now, I'll also say this about Joe Sloan. Do I think he's just terrible? No, I think he's done some good things. I see some of the things he's trying to set up. You know, there are times where I feel like he's trying to get a little too cute and creative. But, you know, it hasn't been good this first year. It just hasn't. Also, when Nuss is struggling, it's an issue. But yeah. Let's see. Hey, we can go up to 200, but times are tough. We used to hit 200 on like every live stream, which is crazy. Also, if we can't, why no running back or wide receiver screens? Yeah, Tari, that's a good question. For some reason or another, LSU's never been a good running back screen team, right? Like, we've had some running backs be good out of the backfield, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but it was rarely like your typical screen. Like, I think screens are tougher now because defensive linemen are just better at reading them and retracing their steps and making plays. So I think running back screen production is just down all around. But yeah, we don't have a whole lot of like just gimme kind of things. And for some reason, we have never, ever been able to run a smooth running back screen. You know, 2007 LSU would do a decent job of that, but it's just never really been our thing. It just hadn't. Okay. Now, Master Blaster's been quiet since he joined us. He's got 1,000 things. Let's go to SB432. We're in the first year of realized NIL effect. I don't think coaches' seats should be judged like before. Yeah, you know, if we do go into like the salary cap reign, maybe things will be different. But we'll see. I still think, though, it would be nice to have a playoff appearance in the first year of the college football 12-team playoff. It would be nice. I'm not asking us to win it. I also think that's a good point from Jared. I think the 12-team playoff is in a really good spot from a PR perspective, and I'll tell you why. Last year, in many ways, Florida State being screwed by the playoff committee was a great thing from them from a PR standpoint. Because they could say, look, we don't want one-loss SEC champions who beat the number one team to not be able to get into the playoff. Nor do we want an undefeated Florida State team not getting into the playoff. So everybody essentially getting in this year is going to be very freaking good for the college football playoff. Right? Because the first thing they'll say, no matter what happens, right when the playoff and this just messaging and all the stuff, when the 12-team playoffs will be announced, you will hear some prominent analysts say, well, thank God it's here, so we're not in the same as a positive. Look, I'll be excited about the 12-team playoff. It'll be fun. But this is where it gets fun. This is where the best thing to happen for the 12-team playoff this year would be a 6-7. Because then the playoff can say, well, this is what we should have done all along. Because we didn't put all the teams we needed in the playoff to rightfully find the right national champion. Let's go to Rake Super Chat. When facing a great defensive line, misdirection screens, passes to flats work. Last pick nuts through his poor design. Are you talking about the check down? Durham stops, looks back. I have to go back and look at the play. Was that Durham or Josh on that? Instead of catching the ball in stride and using his speed. Agree? I'll go back and look at it on this play in particular. But you are right. You know, misdirection, screens, that kind of stuff. But honestly, is audio choppy? I don't know why it did that. I'll just go to here because I'm not messing with this tonight. We're almost towards the end anyway. So it's not going to sound as good. That's okay. But yeah, so it was Josh. Yeah, it was kind of weird. You know, on that, like, it's always strange when, I turned it off, turned the fancy mic off. That happens with StreamYard for whatever reason. Like, it works good for an hour. Sometimes when I share a screen, it does that. I don't know. Oh, it got better before I switched over.
Yeah, I'll just stick with this. But yeah, we definitely need to do more misdirection things, right? Things that keep the defensive linemen on their heels. So I'll be on with Preston tonight on Tiger Bait. And we, he did something earlier and it got everyone riled up. It was a Cam Newton, Joe Burrow debate. And it happens like, every time. Do I think Joe Burrow's better than Cam Newton? I do. Honestly, I do. But they're great in completely different ways, right? Like, obviously, Joe Burrow had – where I disagree with Preston is Joe's supporting cast was way better. I don't think that was really close. But I do also agree in that Cam Newton had, like, Michael Dyer, and they had good players. Ontario, McCaleb, and whatnot. But, you know, like, I just think Joe, the fact that he had to do it for 15 games, Cam had a few kind of, like, tough, rough games. I do factor in that Cam did this as a first-year starter, which is harder. First year at the program, all those things. So it's close, but I just think with Joe, you know, the fewest amount of passing yards he threw in a game was 278. That was the first game of the season when it was 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. We blew Georgia Southern out, right? So, or Georgia State, whichever one it was. It was Georgia Southern. So, look, I do think Joe's better. I do. Obviously, Cam is better at some things. I think Cam is better for the situation he was at Auburn. I think Joe is better for the situation he was in at LSU. But I still think Joe in college, his final season was better. I do. But it's very close. It's very, very, very close. It is 8 p.m. Central tonight with the Preston guy. Okay. All right, here's what we're going to do. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as I possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. Let's keep it going. It's SoCo. All right. What do we need to fix in our red zone offense? Feels like we just malfunction when we get too close to the end zone. Yeah, let's talk red zone. All right. So the biggest thing that changes in the red zone is defensive backs don't have to worry about getting beat deep, right? There's not as much yardage and field behind you. That's the biggest change. Everything just gets way faster. You know, Jaden, as good as he's been as a rookie, has had some rough moments in the red zone. It's just hard. It's just so much harder to convert there. Let's start with the first thing. Our short yardage run schemes, and just our run schemes in general, just aren't good. The second thing about, you know, the red zone play calling is we need to do a better job of formational diversity and just having creative ways to get different guys the football. You know, one thing that really works well in the red zone are jet sweeps. And we've done a few of those jet sweep plays with Xavion Thomas. But let me look this up to see where we rank in the SEC when it comes to red zone offense. All right, red zone conversions. LSU is ninth in touchdown percentage in the red zone at 63.89%. We have been to the red zone 36 times, and we have scored 31 times, and 23 of them have been touchdowns. So 63%, it's not bad. As you can see, it's middle of the pack. Texas leads the SEC at 74.36%, and the team we just played is at 72.73%, right? So we score a touchdown every time we go into red zone, less than two out of every three times. Texas A&M scores a touchdown slightly less than three out of every four times when they get to the red zone. Now, what's interesting is LSU is fourth in red zone attempts in the SEC at 36. So we're doing a good job getting down there. We just got to convert. Now, showing up points out, we do rely a lot on explosive plays to score. Samuel, I hope Taylor was fun Sunday. Well, I know you didn't go. I know the wifey went. Mine, we could not swing it. Yeah, you know, Cam did a lot with less. But I still give Joe Burrow the edge. All right, so Sammy wants me to give out my college football playoff. All right. Now, I'll say this before I share who's in my college football playoff. I try not to get too college football playoff E because I don't want the sport of college football just to be about who gets into the playoff. All right. But I will show you someone I do respect quite a bit. This is Bud Elliott of Cover 3 is the name of his podcast. And this is what he has currently in his college football playoff. Okay. Georgia number one, Oregon number two, Clemson an 8-9 game with Penn State, Boise State, and Notre Dame, even with a loss to Northern Illinois, they're comfortably in Bud Elliott's playoff. Iowa State as a 4 seed, Miami as a 3 seed, undefeated Indiana in 11-6 versus Texas. Ohio State gets a home playoff game versus Texas A&M. That's heading into week 10. All right. Now, obviously, the winner of LSU-Alabama might find their way in. You know, at this point, Texas A&M was the 12 seed. They only have one loss, and the loss was versus us. So we're going to need some help. All right, we're going to need some chaos. And some of those teams in there do play each other the rest of the way. But, you know, I think by looking at that, that lets you know that a three-loss team, it's a tough way for anyone to get in. Okay. Now, what about BYU? They are indeed undefeated. There are so many people that are picking against them every week. But they keep winning. And they keep freaking winning. A&M only has one loss. And Tennessee also only has one loss. So, if you're LSU, you really need one thing that could help you out big time is if Tennessee were to lose to Georgia. Okay, so Samuel says they're losing to Texas and they're losing to Georgia. Maybe so. Let's pull this up. I always say this, what you should do, screenshot this and print out a college football helmet matrix. It makes you a smarter, more well-rounded fan. It honestly helps me in my betting picks each and every week. So you take a look at the rest of the way. I understand the helmets are kind of small. But you'll see Tennessee should beat Kentucky. Georgia should beat Florida. So this weekend in the SEC is kind of wild. You know, one thing that you're hoping for, I mean, there really isn't any result that would happen this weekend that would help LSU out all that much. But then the next week, you then get into those kinds of spots, right, where you're hoping certain teams lose, right, like Tennessee. But no matter what, you look at A&M the rest of the way, everything does set up nicely for them. In my preseason schedule rankings, A&M had the third easiest schedule behind us and or ahead of us in Missouri. And Missouri has by far the easiest schedule in the SEC. That's kind of played out how I expected it to be. A&M had the third easiest. I felt we had the second easiest. But, you know, A&M's got a lot of schedule breaks to go their way. Auburn is terrible. But I'm a little shocked that Auburn beat Kentucky in Lexington this weekend. I will take a few more. Once again, I do need to go eat dinner and get ready for the show tonight. Yeah, I'm with you, Larry. I'm a deeper thinker like you are. Like, I don't just look at wins and losses. I look at how I look at how some other things play out as well. Yeah, Pierce. That's true. One thing I don't want to happen, I would prefer us going to the playoff with two losses, but no SEC championship game. Especially if we got to play Georgia. I want no business of Georgia in the SEC championship game. I went to that a few years ago, and the Dogs, dude, they They pack in, bro. They pack the F in. And I know a lot of us are scared of the Cheez-It Bowl. I am too. Let's go to Sibley. One bad in the rhythm or performance normative. You think Texas in. All right. Once again, A&M didn't have to play Alabama. There's not many schools on here that avoided both Alabama and Georgia, and they did. Now, they did have a tricky season opener versus Notre Dame, but the game was in Kyle Field. You know, once again, preseason schedule rankings. Missouri was a clear easiest, but A&M and LSU were close. You know, their three toughest games on their schedule by far this year, all at home. Notre Dame, LSU, Texas. So if you're thinking that they lose two more games, Sibley, do you think they're losing at South Carolina? I don't think they lose to New Mexico State. Could they lose at Auburn? Sure. Auburn in a little of a weird look-ahead spot for Alabama, but I think they'll lock in for that. Then you have, obviously, the most anticipated game on rivalry weekend. This year will be by far Texas and Texas A&M. The cheapest ticket to get in, like Texas and Texas A&M has reached Taylor Swift prices. I'm serious. The cheapest ticket to get in is $1,500. Last I checked. $1,500. But Sibley makes a good point. LSU played one atrocious half of football. That's it. It was one atrocious half. That's it. Yeah, and to this point, and Sibley's made this point as well, the best place to be this year is avoiding the SEC championship game and being a 5-8 seed, hosting a playoff game the first year of the college football playoff is such a huge W for your program. Like, it is so huge. I understand it might not do a whole lot in like recruiting or whatever, but if you want to get your fans hyped up, host a playoff game, right? It's the most scarce resource we have in sports, our college football games. It is the most scarce thing. And every year as a fan, you're lucky to have seven games of inventory and half of them are rent and wins. So, you know, this year, if you can add an extra playoff game, you get all that extra revenue. And like I said, I had a dream before the season that we were hosting a playoff game. And some of these games are going to be on TBS and TNT. And it was Ernie Johnson, Kenny, Shaq, and Chuck on the sidelines. Oh, Harrison's calling the upset. I've seen a lot of people in here saying A&M in a letdown spot versus South Carolina this weekend. We'll see. I also think Ole Miss is in a sneaky spot here. You know, unhealthy Trey Harris really limits him. They have never played well in Fayetteville under Lane, though. I mean, in 2022, they got absolutely curb stomped in Fayetteville. And then in 2020, they had 7 turnovers. Damn, the Jamie Howard callback. Oh, man. Yeah, you can go to my Monday Arkansas live stream. I went in length about the power on Power Hour SEC about what happened. What's funny is I think one of them is actually really good. He just had been having a bad year. He was their lowest graded offensive player. He didn't play a snap versus us. And like they asked him to go in and he really didn't want to play. And then that was that. The other, and that's Ty Washington. The other one I think is from New Orleans, Varkis Gumbs. But yeah, they weren't really playing a whole lot. All right. And that's 5 to 10. I'll answer as many as we possibly can. Take a look at this. Since Moby Dick was a minor, Texas had to play at Arkansas, the Hogs. Yeah, I mean, before the season, I said Arkansas is either going to beat LSU or Texas coming off a bye and at home. I thought they were going to pull off one big upset, and they've already done it versus Tennessee, but I should have included that in there and makes it look smart. Wait, the Yankees are winning? Oh, let's go, Yanks. I don't want that series to be a sweep. Is the game in L.A. tonight? Oh, so they go 2-3-2 in baseball. So it does go 2-3-2. Nice. Yeah, Tony, I don't know. I wish I was smart enough to tell you that. Welcome to the channel, everybody. Welcome, Tony, to the channel. All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 5 p.m. Central. We normally only go an hour, but you guys brought the absolute freaking energy tonight. One of our best lives. Yeah, I really enjoyed tonight. I'll be straight up with you. Top Super Chatter. Shout out to Sibley, Soko, Rick, Soko, Shownuff, Taylor, Rowie, and Jared, who Super Chats every live stream. Soko was the big winner of an autographed card. Shout out TOV. Shout out Tari as well. Tari Love has become one of my really, really good buddies on here. And shout out to even those that aren't able to Super Chat. No big deal. I appreciate you guys and all your support. It goes a long way. Let's go, Jameis. Well, it is Power Out LSU. Boom! Now, if you want more from me, Power Hour SEC, don't forget to sign up for the Patreon. You get an extra bonus pod tomorrow. And tonight, we are doing some salmon, baby. Let's go.